Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from inside Renaissance Bank, inside our Business Radio X studio here. And we're excited about our partnership with Renaissance. Folks, today you are more connected than ever, and whether it's your friends, your family, or your life, Renaissance understands how you bank, offering the mobile banking services you need. Renaissance also knows that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers. That's why Renaissance has more than 170 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. For more information, go to renaissancebank.com, Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. We turn now to two great guests, and I'm excited about what both of them are going to talk about. Lydia Hilton, she's with Berman Fink Van Horn, and Ron Cole, he's with Shred 415 Alpharetta. We're going to turn to Lydia first. Lydia, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me today. It's good to be here.
It's great to have you here. And you've got a very interesting work you're doing at Berman Fink and Van Horn. Tell folks about it.
Yes. I am by training a business and bankruptcy litigator. And so my practice over the years has been working with companies that either need to make changes, want to make changes, or want to start. And a few years ago, someone asked me to help them do something in aviation, to help them get some exemptions related to flying unmanned aircraft. And I did so. It seemed like an exciting area to be in and would make good use of my business skills and business experience. And so I stayed in that field and I'm happy I did.
And when the phrase that we know most is drones, as right? So we're talking about drones here.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
The word drone is somewhat of a general term, generic term. It's like saying I own a camper or I own a boat.
Right.
It doesn't really tell you the size of the drone, its value, what you use it for. And so it's perfectly fine to use that to describe anything from a predator to something you get in a cereal box to something you buy from the hobby shop.
Right.
The formal statutory definition is just any aircraft that can be operated without the possibility of human intervention on or within the aircraft. So it's perfectly fine to say drone. There was, in the early years, the FAA was wanting us to be a little bit more sophisticated, and they pushed back, and they did not want us to use that word, but they finally basically just gave up.
Sure.
And so there are drones out there.
I got you. So give us a sense of who owns and operates drones, why they do that, as maybe a prelude to talking about some of the legal work you get into.
Okay. Pretty much anybody who's over the age of 13 can fly drones. And I say 13 because that is the age at which a person may register their drone or register themselves with the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration. But generally, anybody can fly drones for pretty much any purpose.
And so my teenage son can fly a drone.
He can.
No wonder you have a big legal practice. Okay.
So
sorry, I had to insert that. That's amazing, though. Seriously.
It is.
Yeah.
No, what we are talking about today, when most people think about drones, are what we call small unmanned aircraft.
Right.
And that is aircraft that are under 55 pounds, fully loaded at takeoff, but more than 0.55 pounds. So the FAA and regulators are not concerned with anything that's under 8.8 ounces. So anywhere between that amount and 55 pounds, that's what we talk about small drones being regulated. Mm. And what you need, the rules and regulations and how you need to fly vary depending on what you want to do with a drone. Drone operations are generally categorized in four ways. There's public operations, which for our purposes today is government, fire departments, police department, military does their own thing and totally regulated by the military,
sure,
not the FAA.
Right.
There are, most people are what we call commercial operators. And they are doing it, they are flying for some purpose other than pure fun, other than just, I like to see it fly and that's what I want to do. And they are regulated by something that's called Part 107 of the federal regulations. And, you know, they have a certain set of rules they have to fly by. Purely recreational operators, perhaps your son, perhaps anybody, have a slightly different set of rules that they are required to follow. But everybody that flies has to register their aircraft. They have to, there has to be a pilot operating the aircraft. Somebody has to be in control in it. You need to have insurance, and that's important. Mm-hmm. Your homeowner's insurance is most likely not going to cover aviation. Drone is an aircraft, and your homeowner's insurance may well have an aviation exclusion. Mm. Similarly, if you're flying for business, you need to double check that you have actual aviation insurance. Your general liability policy probably does not cover that. So those are the things that you need to think about.
Wow. Something tells me there's a lot of folks out there using drones because they're real easy to acquire and to use, but that don't know any of this.
That is correct. I was thinking as coming in today, summer's out. Everybody says my child needs a summer job. You know, call the local realtor, and that is not a good idea. You want someone that you're using for business to be insured. You want to have a written contract that deals with indemnity issues, consequential damages, and all sorts of things. The FAA has actually issued a statement or interpretation that if something goes wrong and the operator crashes, the person that hired the pilot is liable, and often more liable than the person actually flying the drone. So it's not something to be taken lightly.
I need to tell our listeners, hang on, you'll get Lydia's phone number shortly and you can call her to get out of the ditch that you may be in with this. Wow. So this is timely information because there are a lot of folks out there. They may be real estate agents. They may be folks that own a business that have hired a videographer, let's say, to do some video work for them that have this issue.
Yes, and I hear that all the time. People say, well, do I need a license? Do I need to be a Part 107 remote pilot? And I say yes, and then, you know, you never hear from them again because you figure they've just done it on their own. And that's a very sore spot between legitimate service providers who are licensed, insurance, you know, have insurance and do it the right way, and they feel slighted when somebody who's not licensed comes in and charges $5 for something that they charge more for.
Sure. And I was going to get to that as we speak here with Lydia Hilton. And just a reminder, she's with Berman, Fink, and Van Horn. So what do I need to – you've scared the devil out of me, shall we say. Okay. So what do I need – if I'm going to hire someone that is going to do some work with a drone for me and my business, what do I need to look for?
Well, you first thing you want to find out is you want to have a written contract, and it's always a good idea, whether it's your general business attorney or somebody else, to look that over, make sure all the bells and whistles are checked. You want to make sure that the person has a remote pilot's license with what they call a small UAS rating. You want to ask to see it. Don't just take their word for it. You want to find out what their experience has been and what you're doing. You want to find out, have they had any accidents? You want to see their insurance policy, and you want to double check that it's covered for aviation. Mm. In your contract, you want to see if you are limited, no consequential damages. So if the drone crashes and lets the dog out the gate and the child chases the dog into the street, you don't want to be liable for that.
Right.
You want to stop that chain early. And as you get more into the details, you want to check out what's your operation strategy, what are your checklists, what kind of airframe are you flying, you know, what kind of sensor do you have attached to the airframe?
Sure.
Because the airframe ultimately is what we call, it's just a data collection device. It becomes useful when you attach a sensor to it. And a sensor is just anything that your own senses do, something that you hear, see, smell, touch or taste, there's a sensor for that somewhere, and you can get that information and do whatever you want with it. Which brings, let me just interrupt real quick, brings up the data protection issues.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. Thank you.
Yes, your drone does collect data, and if you are collecting it for someone else or someone else is collecting your data, you want to make sure you know who owns it. You want to make sure how it's protected, how it's stored, what happens to it. And if you need privacy policies, you know, in California now, we have a very robust privacy, data privacy laws, and you want to make sure if you need to comply with that or not. If you do anything internationally, you have the European data collection issues. So there's a, it doesn't have to be that complicated. You just want to make sure if it is, you're doing what you need to do.
Right. Now, two quick questions on that. So just to follow up on the insurance part of it or the liability part of it,
right.
Even though you may have that contract with that drone provider, shall we say, or that pilot, you're still liable, even though they've got insurance and even though that may be perfectly valid and all and appropriate and all buttoned down, it sounds like you still have some liability.
Well, how that liability flows is can get subtle. If you are if you have truly contracted that out, there are ways to box in that liability so that that person is assuming all the liability. What happens is that person wants to shift it back to the person that hired them, and that's what you want to look out for.
Ah, another reason to be in touch with Lydia Hilton at Berman, Fink, and Van Horn, right? So she can help with that. So on the data privacy question, though, back to that. So obviously drones are in the air. They're collecting a lot of data, maybe collecting data on folks that don't want their data collected, right? How does that work? How do you cordon that problem off?
Well, there's a couple things, and a lot of this is a lot of these best practices have been developed by the utility industry because they are a huge user of small unmanned aircraft to inspect cell towers, to inspect transmission lines, to string transmission lines after a storm. So one of the things you want to do if you have a camera is you want to be able to say where that camera was pointed. And so the data that the drone collects, you can say my drone was, you know, 90 degrees down looking at the transmission line. It was not looking at what you were doing on your property, you know, 180 degrees the other direction.
Sure.
So there's issues like that. There's also post-collection issues. You know, look at the data if you need to. There are some types of cameras that can fade out the edges of the picture. Then there are, you know, if you're collecting sound or if you're using radar to perform 3 and 4D pictures, there's ways to limit that. And then it all depends, too, on how long you collect it, how long you keep it, what you use it for, that sort of thing.
Gotcha. Now, I know you do some work. We were talking before we came on about unwanted drones. Those folks that are maybe on the other side of that, that have concerns about drones causing issues with them and their business, their property. Tell us a little more about that.
Well, most folks, the few studies that have been done, people are very happy for drones to do their, you know, collect their data. The higher the purpose is, if for saving a child or finding someone that's lost or arresting somebody, they generally don't have problems with it. They get nervous when they don't know who the drone is. They don't know what it's doing or why it's there. And they also get nervous if the drone is somehow interfering with their use of the property. And that can happen if someone has livestock, if someone has animals on their property. It can disturb the animals. It can cause them to bolt and things like that. So there are things that you can do. The general rule is, and FAA tells law enforcement this, if the drone is on your property and you don't like what it's doing, the first thing is take the drone out of it. What is going on that you don't like? And if there's a crime there, if there's a peeping Tom, if there's harassment, the drone is the technology being used to perpetrate the crime is not controlling, relevant. There are still, we're still ferreting out exactly how much property interest you have in the airspace above your property. There's some people who say no, and that's probably incorrect. You do have property rights in the airspace above your property. Mm-hmm. We're just not clear how high it goes.
Right.
And so there's nuisance claims, there's trespass claims, there's notice issues. And of course, once the drone crashes on your property, that is a traditional trespass. You know, it's that property's hit your land. And that's so then you have to deal with returning the property and, you know, what to do with the drone, and all sorts of things. It's interesting stuff.
Right. Lots of issues. So talk a little bit about where the regulation of this is going, because this strikes me as one of those areas where the technology, like a lot of things, the technology is way ahead of the regulation.
Absolutely. Okay. The FAA so far has issued one set of rules about operating, and the industry, and what I mean by that is people who want to do delivery services, people who want to fly beyond where you can see the drone, they're very anxious to be able to do those uses. As a caveat, most batteries only last 30 or 40 minutes, so that part of the technology, the battery life has to catch up before we're going to be flying for 2 or 3 hours on small unmanned aircraft. But as far as regulations go, we're still not beyond visual line of sight, not at night, without special exceptions. And so it's relatively limited. There are new rules that have been proposed to allow more flights directly over people. Currently, you're not supposed to fly over people at all unless the person is in a stationary vehicle or directly involved in operation of the aircraft. And the rules for flying over people are based on how much force the drone would cause and how much damage the drone would cause if it hit someone. Industry is dissatisfied with that. So we're just right now waiting for those regulations to come forward. The big issue is national security. We need something that's called remote ID, which the easy way to think about it is an electronic license plate, where you would, one proposal is you take your phone, hold it up to the drone, and the person's name and address and who they are would come up on it because it would emit a signal. And my understanding is that Homeland, National Security Association, all that group, they're not going to allow drones everywhere integrated into the national airspace till they know who's up there.
Sure. So, that makes sense.
So those are the kinds of things that stop us. One of the things that I think people don't really appreciate is by statute, by federal law, no agency, FAA, anybody else, they can't make rules unless they have data to back up the rules. And so we're still trying to collect the data. And so part of the problem is FAA doesn't have enough information, and other agencies don't have it. And it just takes a long time and a lot of money to get it.
And at the same time, things are moving quickly in terms of both at a state level too.
I mean,
we don't have time to get into all that, but the point is people need to be in touch, depending on what they're up to.
Yes, I would. You want to be educated. You do not want to, this is not something you want to find out the hard way. This is not an area where you can just beg for forgiveness later.
Yeah.
You want to be upfront, because even if it's not likely that something goes wrong, something can go wrong. And all of the personal injury cases that I'm aware of, most of them have involved people having eye injuries, either losing eyes or losing sight or having damage to their eyes because of the propellers. So when something happens, it can be unpleasant.
For sure. And particularly if you're not properly insured and legally protected. So for those that want more information, need an assessment, need some help, how do they be in touch with you, Lydia?
Well, we are Berman Fink Van Horn. We are a business law firm. We are located in the Buckhead Business District of Atlanta. We have a website, bfvlaw.com. My email is lhilton@bfvlaw.com, and all of our contact information is there. We're on LinkedIn and Facebook and Twitter. And we would be happy to help you not only with drones, but any other business issues you might have.
Outstanding. Lydia Hilton with Berman, Fink, and Van Horn. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Folks, if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, or presentations, well, go engage a smart and reliable office angel. They've got the answers. They're not a temp agency or placement firm. No, Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms, your timeline, they lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. And now we turn to Ron Cole. Ron's a lot closer to the ground, right?
I am a little bit closer to the ground.
Okay, I love it. Shred 415 Alpharetta. Ron, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, John. It's been a pleasure getting to know you and a pleasure being here today to talk about Shred 415.
Okay, well, for those that don't know about Shred 415, and there's a lot around here that don't know because you're about to bring it to Alpharetta. So tell everybody about that.
That's right. So my wife, Melissa, and I are the franchise owners of Shred 415 Alpharetta. And Shred 415 is a group fitness studio focused on HIIT workouts. And for those listening, if you don't know what HIIT means, it's high intensity interval training. And so we focus on motivational HIIT workouts, community connection, and giving back through our Shred Gives philanthropic side of our business. And we are thrilled to be bringing this brand and this fitness experience to the Alpharetta market.
Okay. Now, that sounds great. Now, the question I always am interested in, you know, just from a business perspective, right? There are a lot of different franchises, a lot of different businesses, and drilling down a little further, a lot of different fitness concepts you could have gotten involved in. Mm-hmm. Why Shred 415?
So it's a real great question. I mean, it was interesting. We lived in St. Louis and we've always been active people. And while we've moved all over the country as a family, we've moved 9 times as a family, John Ray.
Mm.
And so we've been everywhere and we've always been active. I played basketball into college. My wife played sports when she was in school. And we've always wanted to invest in something for ourselves. And so when we were in St. Louis, I had a dear friend of mine, a great mentor, an awesome businesswoman who, despite all of her successes, really struggled with her fitness. And I saw a transformation in her. And I was working out and Melissa was working out at a different studio. And she kept telling us, Ron, Mel, you got to try Shred. And when I say it's a transformation for her, she lost about 60 to 70 pounds in a year.
Wow.
And she kept talking about this trainer named Ryan and this great experience at Shred. And I was hesitant because I was loyal to the brand and the studio that I was going to. And so finally, one day, I went over to Shred. And I actually wore shirts from the other brand and the other studio that I was going to.
Look at you.
I walked in proud. Like, you guys aren't better than what I'm doing right now.
Uh-huh.
It took one class. 2 weeks later, I canceled my other membership and I became a shredder. And 250 classes later, between Melissa and myself, we fell in love with the brand. Fitness is always going to be around. So when you think about a business to invest in, people are always going to be working out. They're always going to be working on cardiovascular and working on their strength. And we just fell in love with the brand for a lot of different reasons. And luckily last year, we decided to go all in and move our family to Atlanta.
So you're like that dude that had the razor blade, right? He loved it so much he bought the company, right? So you loved the workout so much you got involved with the company, right?
Yeah, I mean, I knew instantly as soon as I walked into that studio and halfway through the workout that this is what group fitness is supposed to feel like, and I was hooked, and we went all in.
Okay, so describe what this experience is all about. I mean, what's a class like?
Yeah, no, it is by far the best 60-minute workout I've ever taken, and I've taken and worked out at a lot of different places. And so it is a full 60-minute workout. So Shred 415 stands for 4 15-minute segments. So we are going to alternate between treadmill drills and strength work for a full 60 minutes. So John, when you come into that studio, you might start in the treadmill or you might start on the floor doing strength works, but you're going to switch back and forth. That 60 minutes is going to fly by and you're going to get stronger. You're going to get faster. You're going to be supported by a community of people that you don't even know yet are going to become some of your best of friends. And that's what a shred class is like. And so it's really interesting. It's hard to explain without being in one, but you walk in, you start warming up, the trainer's talking on a microphone, and they tell you we're about to start in about 30 seconds. And then the lights dim, a chime goes off, the music revs up, the trainer's voice, you hear a difference. There's a different edge. There's a different intensity that hits. And then boom, you are in for 60 minutes of high intensity interval training with more energy than you can possibly even think about until you get into a class.
Wow.
I can't wait to get you there, John.
Yeah, I'm just hoping to get through 1:15, much less 4:15. But anyway, we'll that's another subject. So, so this sounds a lot different than obviously the do-it-yourself fitness model.
Absolutely.
Where you come in and you're kind of on your own. And but then there's some other models out there that they have their own way of doing things with trainers. So what's different for Shred 415 versus some of those other concepts?
So you're absolutely right. There are a ton of fitness options, and there should be, because everyone's got to find what's right for them. And we don't prescribe that Shred 415 is the best thing for every single person. But for the person who's looking for a specialized group fitness environment, Shred 415 delivers, and we believe it's one of the best at delivering that in the country. And so we specialize in group fitness. There are a lot of different gyms, especially the large ones, who have retrofitted and done some different things to bring more curated boutique fitness experiences to their offering. But this is what we specialize in, and people are flocking towards group fitness studios in the marketplace. We're also obsessed with customer service, and obsessed is a key word. From the minute you walk in to the minute you leave, we are curating a very highly focused guest experience so that when you walk in, because fitness is personal, right? And many people don't necessarily love fitness. They do it because they need to. So we want to make sure that we provide you the best experience possible. It is a full 60-minute HIIT experience. There's a lot of different places for a lot of different reasons. Not wrong or right, just different. Where you walk in and you say, it's a 45-minute workout. You really work out for 25 minutes because you're standing around. I like to call it the bounce effect. You're bouncing around trying to keep your heart rate up because someone's talking to you about what you're about to do, but you're not actually doing anything. We put a clock up on the board. It counts down from 60. All the stretching and cool down is done after that point in time. So you get a full 60-minute workout. All of our trainers are certified. You'd be surprised, John, how hard it is to find certified trainers in the marketplace.
Right?
And it doesn't mean that people don't do great stuff, but we really qualify the people that we bring in to curate the experience because our trainers design the workouts and we hold them accountable to having modifications for any situation that anyone would have. And you really need certified trainers to be able to do that. We've got one of the highest end treadmill brands that anyone can have. They're called Woodway treadmills. You'll find them in the weight rooms of NFL teams and basketball teams and colleges. These are not cheap treadmills. These are some of the smoothest built to last treadmills you can find in the marketplace. And then one thing that we've gotten a lot of really great feedback about, John, is we believe that having a child should not be a barrier to you being able to hit your fitness goals. And so we offer childcare services in our kids lounge, big flat screen TV, coloring books, an area that your child can work, can be there while you're working out in a safe, very, very nice and clean environment so that you can get your 60-minute workout and not feel like you can't work out because you've got a little one at home. And we start watching those kids from 6 weeks, John. So from 6 weeks up to 13 years old, we have services that people can have. And then lastly, full bathrooms, showers, amenities, vanity, toiletries, towel service, so that you don't have to bring your own towel when you're working out. We wash the towels. You can take as many as you want when you're working out to do what you have to do. We are all about that customer guest experience, John. And it's awesome. We can't wait for people to experience
it. Yeah, that's exciting. Exciting stuff. I can see why you were captivated by that experience. Now, one of the things that I think maybe people that aren't familiar with this kind of experience, maybe they don't understand, is What exactly is high intensity interval training? What does that actually mean? For those that haven't been through that, what does that mean?
Right. So it's a great question. So high intensity interval training is a combination of cardio and strength work that's done in an interval type of format. And what the interval format does is it really helps with your heart health. Taking your heart rate up and taking your heart rate down and having your body getting used to that actually creates longevity from a cardiovascular perspective. So for instance, a runner, if you talk to a serious runner, one of the best things that runners can do is interval training. Why? Because when you're in that marathon or you're in that half marathon and you hit a hill, at the end of that hill, you want your heart rate to recover, right? You want your heart rate and your body to be able to get back to its steady state fast. And interval training allows you to do that. And the combination of strength and cardio burst or running and then slowing down and then running again really allows you to get into shape in a differentiated way. It allows you to burn more calories. And the interval style also allows you to burn calories for up to 24 hours after one of our workouts.
Now, we're speaking with Ron Cole, and Ron is the owner-operator, along with his wife, Melissa, of Shred 415 Alpharetta. Now, you tell us about your studio. Mm-hmm. We're neighbors.
That's right. We're actually, I mean, I could hit a golf club. I can hit a golf ball from here, John, and I'm not that great at golf.
Yeah, I was about to say I could do that too, but it would be a wedge, not a driver.
Definitely
that's the nice thing. It's something real easy because we literally are neighbors.
That's
We're here in Renaissance Bank on Windward Parkway, and you're right next door at 5215. I think I got that right. Yeah, 5215 Windward Parkway.
So what we like to tell people is that if you've ever been to Costco, you've got to drive by Shred to get there. But more importantly, where people start really shaking their heads is we are literally across the street from Nothing But Cakes.
Well, there you go.
That's right. And Gloria and team are awesome. So when you come out of Nothing But Cakes, you look across the street and you will see me smiling, saying it's time to do some burpees.
I love it. I love it. That's the reward for a good workout, right?
Bunt to burpees.
I love it.
We're going to figure that one out, John.
Yeah, I'm going to have to talk to you about that. So, now, folks that come into you at different, with different needs, different levels, mm-hmm. right? So, not everyone's the a fitness nut. Not
right.
everyone is, maybe they're folks that have not been in a fitness class ever.
That's right.
So how do you work with folks that are at different levels?
Absolutely. And so the way that the workouts are designed, it allows anyone with any fitness level to do what's good for them and what they can do to achieve the results that they want. And so some people love to run. I'm a runner. I'm a fast runner. Melissa's a runner, but she doesn't really love running. Right. So we might be in the treadmill next to each other and I might be at X speed and she might be walking because she'd rather walk that day. But guess what? You can get a great workout walking and we're going to have you doing some inclines when you're walking and then coming back down and getting your heart rate going up and going down. Again, it's about that cardiovascular health that allows someone who's a sprinter and someone who's a walker to get just as good of a workout. We really tell people to listen to their bodies. Right. So we don't do tracking and some other things. And that's great. And a lot of people have their devices on their wristwatch and everything else. But we really talk to you about listening to your body and doing what you know you can do. Now, we're going to push you beyond that. No doubt, because all of us have a little bit of a mental ceiling that we hit. But we also provide modifications for everything. So I use burpees as an example. There's a lot of ways to do a burpee. So if you watch a Spartan race, and you watch them doing burpees, you would go, I don't ever want to do a burpee again.
Okay, now for those that don't know what a burpee is, you need to explain that.
Because
some people that think you do that with a baby.
Yeah.
There's more than
that's
you're talking about something else. Yeah.
That's a different type of
right.
burpee. Right. So a burpee is one of those moves that people either love it or they hate it. But the bottom line is it's a great full body workout. So what a burpee is you're standing straight up and you can jump down or squat down into a push-up position. Then you can either do a push-up or not do a push-up. And then you pop back up and you usually jump up like you're going to touch the ceiling. or you just raise your arms above your head. Now, there's a lot of different ways to do a burpee. And so what we would do is we would modify that depending on someone's fitness level. So someone like me, I'm going to jump down. I'm going to kick my legs back. I'm going to do a push-up. I'm going to jump back up. And then I'm going to do a jump squat and tap my knees. And people go, Ron, you're really, really extra.
Oh, dear.
But okay. Then, like, if my mom was doing a workout, yeah. I would tell my mom, squat down, step your feet back, step your feet back in, stand up, and clap at the top. She doesn't have to jump. She doesn't have to do some of the things that might not be good for her body. But guess what? Her heart rate's still going to go up. She's still going to get some cardio, and she's going to be breathing heavy at the end of it. And so that's how we can modify these workouts so that anybody, regardless of fitness level, can come in, get a great workout. And you know what? You're going to be more empowered. You're going to feel stronger. And over the long term, you will get better in all avenues of your fitness.
I'm going to be in the class with your mom.
That's right.
So that sounds the better for me. So you're about to open.
That's right.
And tell everyone what you want them to know as you gear toward your opening. Because you're already signing people up, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. There is a small army.
Yeah.
Of original shredders.
Cool.
The Shred Fram is growing, and it's growing fast. We have gotten such a great response from the marketplace. So here's what I would tell you to do. First, go on to Instagram or go on to Facebook and follow at Shred415 Alpharetta. We are very active on social media, especially Instagram. But between Instagram and Facebook, you have to find us. Additionally, if you want to look at our website, you can go to www.shred415.com. That will give you the page to the main brand, which has been around since 2011. We are not a new brand. We are just new to Alpharetta. Mm-hmm. Lastly, you can give us a call. We're at 470-413-8933. We are doing pop-up workouts at Cogburn Road Park every Saturday until we open. So we're opening in 6 weeks, John. We've got great opening deals right now because the best deals we offer are before we open. Please come and join the Shred Fram, become an original shredder, get a great shirt, and just be a part of something that truly is going to bring a whole new energy to the fitness scene here in Alpharetta.
You know, Ron, I wish you'd get some enthusiasm, buddy. I mean, it would be, this is great. I mean, I love enthusiastic owners and folks that are passionate about what they do, and it's great to have you here. Ron Cole. From Shred 415 Alpharetta, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Great to have you. So, folks, I want to just point you again, I always do, to our website. You can listen to this show and any of our shows that you may have missed along the way at NorthFultonBusinessRadio.com. You can check them out there, or you can find our shows out there on all the different podcast apps, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Podcasts, a lot of them out there. You can find us there by searching North Fulton Business Radio. So check us out there. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at North Fulton BRX. So for our guest, Lydia Hilton from Berman, Fink, and Van Horn for Ron Cole, Shred 415 Alpharetta. I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Today, you're connected more than ever. Your friends, your family, your life. And banking is what you do on your time, anywhere you like. Renaissance understands how you bank, offering mobile banking services you need. At Renaissance, we also understand that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers. That's why Renaissance has more than 170 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. Renaissance Bank, understanding you. Member FDIC.